Right now, they don't need their masks because we're on the telephone. It's time for the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is the website. You'll find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here they are, maskless on the phone.
No. We've got masks on. We're the Lone Rangers. I'll tell you that. We've got masks.
I tell you. We've got masks here because the National Guard provided us with masks. So.
Aren't you lucky?
Okay. Yeah, they, are you broadcasting wearing masks?
No, but we have them here if occasionally, like when our engineer comes in, he wears it, something like that. But no, there's only right now four people allowed inside this building. And we know where all four are. And they all four believe in wearing their masks outside and doing everything right. So inside the building, we're mask free. But the minute you go outside, the masks go on.
Right. We are the same.
Yeah, the masked Avengers we are. Now I have
but
to.
But I'll tell you, if you drive around, I see many people not wearing masks.
It is a problem. The thing that I love though is when I see people. And this is going to be terrible, but people driving in their cars and they have their masks on in the car.
I know.
And nobody else is
in
the car.
I
feel like yelling at them, take it off. You're in your car. Anyways.
But, they may be, I understood it. They may be going from one place to another, and it's easier to leave it on.
Pull it down, because if you wear glasses.
Pull it down,
If you wear glasses and you're in your car and you breathe, and you all of a sudden your glasses fog up.
Yes, that's right.
Big problem.
That's
but anyways, we'll get away from that.
And also, when I wear my sunglasses and my mask, the mask gets in the way of my glasses. Luckily, I don't need them except for sunglasses.
All right. I want to go to the interesting town meetings that are taking place in Massachusetts.
Oh, boy.
And I was not shocked at all to find out in Great Barrington, somehow at that town meeting, what the matter of defunding police came up, right?
Yeah.
that was quick.
Well, in Massachusetts, the town meeting is the form of government, and having an annual town meeting is actually where, the future budget for the next year is decided. And, the select board is just the agents of the, but the real government is the town meeting, the people. So this particular town meeting was historic. It met in the parking lot of the high school. And under a tent, the select board and the finance committee set up were stationed at a table, and people were in there. There were some chairs, some folding chairs set up in the parking lot at 6 feet distance from each other, and people were in their cars. And that's how the town meeting was conducted. It was very bizarre.
Right.
But in any case, nevertheless, the true character of Great Barrington came through, I suppose you could say.
It was fascinating because we started at 6 o'clock and we, luckily it was a long day, but we stopped at 10 and we weren't done. And it was too dark to see anything, and people started to leave. That was the other problem. We hadn't finished all the items on the warrant, and there wasn't a quorum anymore. So we'll have to reconvene Thursday at 6 p.m. and finish the business.
But the school budget passed. And the town budget passed, but there were a whole host of, I think there were like 40-some items on the warrant that the town meeting had to address. Half of those 40 were what are called citizen petitions, and those are, one of them was, a call to defund the police in response to, in companionship, I suppose, with outrage over the murder
Black
of George
Lives.
Floyd, yeah, and Black Lives Matter, and so that was, I guess, the most controversial issue of the whole evening, but it was turned aside. So, with an impassioned plea from the police chief. But if you go to our site, you can see some pictures of the and videos of the debate, and it got to be a kind of town meeting in under the stars. It was kind of like being at a drive-in movie,
Yeah,
right. It was really strange.
Well, it's the season of strange, between between Zoom and now, like I said, we have at the Amenia drive-in, a Broadway review, which was going to open up on Broadway, is now going to be in the back of pickup trucks on July 4th in Sharon. The Sharon Playhouse is going to have a drive-in with an outdoor stage, a drive-in theater reviews.
Mm-hmm. Where are they doing that?
In their parking lots.
Great.
And see how things go. I mean, it's the season of strange, and at least some things are starting to open up a little bit, where if people use their common sense and do social distancing and wear masks, we'll be okay. But I got to get on to the next story, because I love your title for it. Scandal in West Stockbridge, and this involves the former fire chief, who is found to have been engaged in kickbacks, is now seeking his old seat on the select board.
Well, why not?
Yeah, why
you
not?
Know, I mean, you know, come on.
You're right.
He had a gig there, you know. any case, yes, Peter Skorpit, chief that was, he was fined by the ethics panel, state ethics panel, for mismanaging funds, and he was both fire chief and a member of the select board, and he was forced out. But now he's seeking once again to run for the select board. I find this shameless, you know. But, you know, we're in an era where people say, oh, I did something wrong, but no, I didn't. They just deny it. I think led by our tweeter-in-chief is in the same category as this guy, Peter Skorpit.
Let's see. You know, he has support in West Stockbridge. Let's see if he wins. When he was reprimanded by the select board earlier this year, his entire team of volunteer fire people stood up for him. So we'll see if he can win.
Well,
but
it is
shocking if he does. Really.
The old adage is, you never count your chickens before they're hatched, and anything can happen. Especially in this weird season that we're in, where most people don't even know what day it is because they've been so tied up, or weekend.
I know.
I just did an interview about an event coming up this weekend, and I said, now remember, June 26th, 27th, 20th is this weekend. you tend to lose track of days.
Well, you know, it is odd that the time is really out of joint, as they say.
It's amazing.
If we didn't have, we have certain articles that come into us on certain days of the week, and that's how I am able to know what day it is. Otherwise, how do you know what day it is?
Yeah, it really is a strange time.
Right.
Well, we're going to go on to more COVID-related material, and that is the cultures in the Berkshire abbreviated seasons. You've got director and actor Jim Frangione surveying theaters and theater artists.
Right.
We do. He's a terrific guy, and he wrote us a piece about that we call Theater in the Time of COVID-19, and he surveyed how theaters are going to cope with this. And he interviewed Julianne Boyd at Barrington Stage, you know, and the summer season in the Berkshires is really how it is what marks the Berkshires, distinguishes the Berkshires in a way, is that lovely and vibrant cultural season from early late spring to fall, and so in many of course with the virus, many of this whole season has been upended, but some theater operations are going to go forward in an abbreviated season, so that's good news. But I worry about how these organizations are going to survive beyond for the next year, because they're fairly fragile, all of them. And, but in any case,
but that's true. That's people are worried about what's happening now and this year. That's not the problem. The problem that that you and I face, businesses face all over, is what is the long-term viability of businesses being able to survive losing really 4 months of their peak season. That's a question to be answered.
Their entire peak season.
Yeah.
Their entire season.
Yeah, that's a question.
Their peak season. It's really their entire season.
That's the question to be answered, and that question won't be fully answered until we get into winter and out of winter and see who can survive and still serve our community as a small business,
and as
a nonprofit entity trying to produce the productions and the quality of productions that they produce in our area. I think that's another thing that we tend to overlook. We're very spoiled here with the amount of amazing theater and music live productions that go on in theaters in the northwest corner of Connecticut, adjacent eastern New York, and in southern Berkshire. Mm. We are so lucky. The quality is just unbelievable. It's world class. It really is.
It is. And I was just looking, thinking about Shakespeare and Company, and Alan Burroughs, the artistic director, has had to cancel the whole season, which is really, or the summer season anyways.
Yeah.
And it's really a really a shame, but I'm wondering too, at some point we should do, I wonder how many actors and directors we've lost, actually.
It is probably astoundingly bad. And that's why when I spoke to the America Sweethearts, they're coming up on July 4th, and they were, and I also did an interview with the producer of the show that's coming to Armenia. They're just chomping at the bit to get any type of activity like this, anything. Even though these people coming up from New York for the one in Armenia have to do it in the back of five different pickup trucks because they have to be socially. There's a lot that has to go in to do these things. Performers want to perform.
Yeah, they do.
It's
right.
And I wonder, just how many of these are going to survive.
Yeah,
it's a pandemic.
It's tough to look at, and like I said, everything will shake down by the time the middle of winter comes. And by the way, we are on that path, that is that unmovable path now, towards wintertime, because the days are now getting shorter day by day.
Oh,
I thought I'd pass along.
I'm going to be a little premature here.
Well, no, they are.
They are, of course, but they're not. We're just getting into summer.
I know, and all of a sudden the days started getting shorter. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, and that
is it was the 20th. It was actually Sunday they started to get shorter. Saturday was the longest day of the year.
So beginning Sunday, the long trudge towards wintertime has begun.
Mm.
I look at that way, and this weird social season we have. All right. You've got, a profile of Susan Cillo and her Ross and Brook Farm in Monterey.
Oh, yes. She's terrific. She has a herd of goats. She's famous, actually, for her chev. And so we have a profile of her and how she's coping with this pandemic as well. And it's interesting to hear, you know, how, in a way, it's a return to, just something normal, you might say. But it's a lovely profile of her farm and her work that she's been doing over many years, and her products are famous in the Berkshires. So we thought it was a good idea to do a little profile of somebody who's remind us of our. Of a sort of normal kind of life here.
It's one of the few times you'll see a cheesy story at BerkshireEdge.com.
Oh, is it? Yes, right.
Well,
right.
Yes, and we do not do cheesy. And no. Speaking of not doing cheesy, we have a wonderful article by our regular columnist, Carol Owens, about the time that she hosted a dinner at her home for the Kennedys, for John and Jean Kennedy Smith, who died just the other day. And it's really, it's a lovely story about how, first of all, how she met them as a child. She met John Kennedy when he was running for president, and she actually got a chance to talk to him. And she doesn't explain how she happened to have them come to her house for dinner, but she does say that she thought her neighbors would never talk to her again because when they came for dinner, the Secret Service closed off the whole street, which she had not expected. And so the neighbors couldn't even get home. But she also talks about how lovely they were and, how well-bred they were and how interested they were in other people and, what a pleasure it was to be in their company.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about this, if you know the circumstances, is she lives on a Prospect Hill, which overlooks Stockbridge, and her neighbor is the Fitzpatricks, who started the Red Lion Inn.
And Country Curtains.
And Jack Fitzpatrick was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican and a Kennedy opponent. So
did he come to dinner?
Well,
or he just couldn't get to
well,
his
I'm
house.
Just right. I mean, it must have been galling for him to see this great ceremony and going on across the street from him. I thought I was wondering about what he thought about it.
About
the Kennedy showing
up. His block.
On his block and in his town.
It's interesting.
For all of that matter.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because she's passed away now, but we did some interviews with Nancy Tuckerman, who lived in our area, and she was the White House social secretary for Jackie Kennedy. Stories, the incredible stories that she told of being in that administration and handling the press and dealing with the death of Jack Kennedy. That's the kind of thing we talk about where people don't understand what type of area we live in and the people who come here and reside and end up retiring here. We have just an amazing array of people that have background stories that are just unbelievable.
Oh, we do.
The stuff movies are made of, really.
I want to say one other thing about the Kennedys had this as everyone knows, I suppose, is that, they wherever they went as a family, I mean, people were just enthralled to be in their presence. I remember at Amherst, when I was at Amherst College, Jack Kennedy came to give a speech to open the Robert Frost Library, and he came to dinner at the president's house, and I hear that the staff, the Irish staff, as it turns out, at the president's house were just over the top with excitement about that.
Yeah.
Because, and he was very great, you know, he had a real, apparently he really went into the kitchen and talked to everybody.
Yeah, well,
and they had a real common touch.
Yeah, great communicators do exactly that. They communicate whether it's in private or whether it's in a political situation. I want to go to the final story because we only have about 2.5 minutes left, and
okay.
I don't want to leave any off this time. Your columnist Carol Owens has an account of she once. Oh, I wouldn't know. What's right? We did that.
No, David Edwards.
David Edwards.
Right.
And he's not writing music about Tanglewood though.
No, he can't.
Yes, this is an odd story. It's about poisonous snakes.
And copperheads.
Copperheads.
Right.
And coming upon them and finding them in the Berkshires. And I have to say that of all the stories we've written this past week, this is the most popular. I mean, people are just astounded by this story. David Edwards is quite an interesting fellow, and this is an amusing story. And in fact, you know, if you go over to the rail trail that runs from Hillsdale south along Route 22 over in New York State, I've ridden my bike there and have come across rattlesnakes and
sunning themselves
on the asphalt.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
And you have to give them a really wide berth. So they're common, but this is an amusing story about finding a copperhead.
Well, so, or not.
No, or not. Yeah.
Right. So read it and find out.
That's right. Why if you use a bike on the trail, it's good because if you see a bear, you can turn around and very quickly go the other way. And if you see a snake, you can very quickly ride by it, giving it its berth. But, that's one of the things about living out here in the country. Then there's those are vermits out there that you have to be careful of.
Yes, well, right. You know, at least... Yes, there are varmints.
Right. There are varmints. There are a lot of bears.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, stay away from varmints. Also, stay safe.
Well, you too.
Human and otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. We have. This is the season of varmints, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
We will speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. Have a good week.
Yeah, bye-bye. This week in the Berkshire Edge, you can find the Berkshire Edge on theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.